Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
So how to have an excellent life. Who doesn't want an excellent life, right? I mean, we all want an excellent life. From the time we're born, we're usually raised by people that are trying to do everything they can to get us to have an excellent life, to do excellent things, to be excellent. I was going to use a Bill and Ted reference, but I think that would date me, you know? All the young people are like, what's Bill and Ted? That's when you really know that you're getting older, when you're using movie references of stuff before people in the room were even born. The thing about having an excellent life, though, is that many people focus on the wrong things. They're putting the proverbial cart before the horse. When it comes to having an excellent life can only be found in Jesus Christ. All other things pale in comparison to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you've been attending Faith and Victory longer than a week, you know that I sound like a broken record. Because more than anything, what I'm trying to attempt to do is to get you to fully submit to God in every single area of your life. Amen? And so if you're thinking about your life and you think there's areas that you're struggling or areas that you aren't going that well, my challenge to you this morning is maybe you're not fully submitted to God in every single area of your life. Maybe you haven't had that all-in moment. Amen? We're going to be reading from John chapter 15 this morning, verses 5 through 8. I don't know, is it going to be on the screen this morning? And go. Let's bring that up. So we've been in the book of John for, I don't know, a few years. We're continuing the book of John this morning. For those of you that are just joining us, the way that I preach is this. I'm going to tell you what it says. I'm going to tell you what it means. I'm going to tell you what it means to you. What does that mean? And about halfway through, you're going to feel like I'm almost done. I'm just warming up. We're just taking our time to get through the book of John. We figure if we take our time, we're going to get a lot more out of it than if we just blaze through it. So John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Next verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. One of my favorite commentators is this guy named Matthew Henry. And Matthew Henry said this, a life of faith in the Son of God is incomparably the most excellent life a man can live in this world. Incomparably. And I've been serving God since I was 15 years old. I'm going to be 40 next year. And so I'm rounding 25 years. And I will tell you that I have lived the most excellent life. And it's not about you saying, well, if Matt had an excellent life, maybe I can have an excellent life. I'm just telling you from my experience. If I knew 25 years ago what my life was going to end up like, I still would have made the decision to give my life wholly and completely to God. And that's really that point at which your life begins to change, is when you make that decision and say, no matter what may come into my life, when I fully submit to Jesus in my life, I make him the center of my all, your life begins to be excellent like you've never experienced before. The first part of this verse is that Jesus says that without me, you can do nothing. Amen. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now think about this. These disciples have spent a huge amount of time with Jesus, and he's been pouring into their lives. They've been seeing miracles. He's been imparting power. He's been telling them they're going to do huge things. But then he makes this distinction. He says, listen, I've been with you and we've done these great things, but make no mistake, without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing that you can do on your own strength. There's nothing you can do on your own power. Don't think for one second that I've imparted this in you so that you can separate yourself from me. I've imparted this in you so that you understand that if you don't have a connection with me, you will be able to do nothing. It kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? To understand that a lot of times people get this idea that God is imparting things in them so they can go away from God, when God is really imparting things in you so that you will stay connected to him. Amen? Amen. Apart from him, you can do nothing. It's a clear distinction to have, to understand that the only power, the only influence that the disciples can have is if they stay connected to Jesus, because apart from Him, they can do nothing. Nothing. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, speaking about Jesus, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. No miracles performed, no discipleship, no gospel spread, unless they have a connection to Jesus. And I will tell you that if you've been serving God longer than a week, you know that when you step out away from the throne, when you step away from Jesus and you try to do things by yourself, it rarely works out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? On our own strength, we usually fail miserably. We'll go out and we'll fail, and then we come back and we're like, okay, hold on, I think I missed one of the steps. And I think the step was that I needed to stay connected to Jesus. See, people will tell you that Christ came to set you free. And it's true. It's 100% true that Christ came to set you free. But it wasn't a freedom from Christ. It was a freedom in Christ. Amen? God didn't set you free so you could go live life disconnected from God. We don't exist as a church so you can come in and get some fire insurance and go back to where you came from. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is a connection to God all day, every day, living in Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Amen? We must stay connected to the One who controls it all if we hope to get anything done in this world. If not, we're merely just out there on our own. Amen? Now, I don't know if you know this, but I served in the military. Amen? I use a lot of military examples because, first off, I spent 6 years in there. Also, I can't use examples of your guys' lives. You know what I mean? I can't be like, so I was hanging out with Jeremy and he was failing last week. It happens. I can't use that as a sermon example. But just by a show of hands, how many people here serve in the military? Would you just raise your hand? Look at all them vets. Good job. Yay, you guys. All right? Free coffee in the AMC. And I'll tell you, as a military person, one of the things that really irks me that a lot of other military people don't understand is when you see someone, and a lot of times you see these videos on YouTube, where people will wear the uniform that didn't serve. Has anybody ever seen those videos on one where a guy will show up and he's wearing the uniform, he's wearing all these medals and said he did all these things, and then there's this video of a real soldier that comes up to him and starts asking him questions. What does this medal mean? What does this patch mean? When did you serve? And then everybody just kind of jumps on this guy and says, you're a fake, you're lying to people, you never served, you're pretending you're something that you're not. And what's more comical is that in the comments on these videos or pictures or whatever, people always be like, why are people being so mean to him? He's just wearing a uniform. It's not that big of a deal. Why does everybody get up so upset? Just let the poor guy live and pretend. See, people that truly have served get really upset when people pretend that they've achieved something that they didn't really achieve. When people act like they earned something that they didn't really earn. It infuriates you because you're like, listen, man, I spent years of my life doing push-ups in the mud, getting yelled at, and having to do hospital corners on my bunk. And now this guy wants to pretend he's something that he's not. And the people that get the most upset about those fake soldiers are the real ones because they've paid the cost. They know what it takes. The people in the fake uniform have no sense of honor. They have no sense of connection. They're just trying to get what they can for themselves. They erroneously think that it's the uniform that makes the soldier. That as long as I look like it on the outside, I don't truly have to be it on the inside, and I can purport to everybody else that I am what I'm not, just because on the outside it looks like I am. There's a sermon in there. I ought to preach it someday. They're not connected to the power behind the uniform. They're just merely putting on the uniform. They haven't committed to defend the Constitution. They didn't sign up. They didn't give their lives away. They didn't pay the cost. They're merely trying to make everybody else think that there's something that they're not, because truly on the inside they didn't have what it took to stay connected to what it really makes a soldier on the inside. If you really are who you say you are, you could use the power connected to it, but without it, you can do nothing. A lot of people do this with Christianity. They believe that, well man, if I just act like a Christian, or if I just show up, people will think I'm something that I'm not. But if you're not connected to the one that it's about, you're as we say, perpetrating the fraud. Has anybody heard that term before? Perpetrating the fraud? See, it doesn't happen as much up here in the Northwest. You know, Northwest people don't go to church out of compulsion, man. Nobody cares that you're here this morning. Nobody's impressed. Nobody cares. They think you're weird. But my wife and I, we used to live in Texas, and in Texas, everybody goes to church. Yeah. Everybody goes because you have to have a church if you want to be able to do business and if you want to be able to get along in the community. It's not really like that up here. You got to make sure you don't tell people to go to church because you might get in trouble. Now, the second part of this verse, Jesus says, if you don't abide in me, you're going to get burned. Amen. That's the good part, isn't it? Don't worry, we're getting to a part where you get free stuff. So just hold on. And once we get to the free stuff part, you're going to be a little bit more excited. Now listen, the verse is what it is, and it says what it says. And I don't know, can you bring that verse back up? It's 15:6, I think, or 7. Which one is it? The one that says that you get burned. There we go. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. I should let that burn in your retinas for a minute there. Now, this verse either speaks directly or indirectly about hell. It's just the bottom line. Now, a lot of my preacher friends, and you read blogs and everything else, they say the quickest way to offend people and keep them from coming to your church is you got to talk about hell. Well, I don't agree with that. You just got to talk about money. Then they won't show up. But if you talk about hell, people, they're just kind of squirm in their seats. They're like, you know what, I don't like to talk about hell. I it's a scary place. I don't want to be in a place where people talk about hell. But I'm not afraid to talk about it, man. It's a reality. As real as heaven is, hell is a real place also. And there is a theology and a doctrine of hell that is throughout the whole entire Bible. And if you're an honest person that reads your scriptures for what they are, you will realize that there is two places that you go when you die. You either go up to heaven to spend eternity with Jesus, or you go to eternal damnation in hell. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm just merely preaching the truth of God's word. Amen. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what's interesting about that is there's a couple in there that really stick with me. Everybody want to talk about the sexually immoral and the stealers and the sorcerers. Everybody's like, why ain't a sorcerer? Glory to God. But it also says the cowardly. It also says the liars. Man. Sorcerers. Murderers. See, people get this idea and they think, well, as long as I don't kill anybody, I get to go to heaven. There's a lot more things that can keep you out of heaven. Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See, there's really two types of people. Either you're a person that believes in oil changes or you don't. It's true. Like, either you believe that you're supposed to change the oil in your car every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, or you don't. And someone in this room right now said, I'm supposed to change my oil? It's the first thing that, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be changing my oil? Yes! If you have a conveyance of an automobile, the manufacturer's recommendation is that you should change the mile every 3,000 to 6,000 miles. And you got one of them newfangled cars that takes 15. I don't know what that's like, but maybe you do. But at some point, you've got to change the oil. And if you don't change the oil, you are guessing that you're going to just make it. Every day, it's just a gamble. You're like, well, you know, it's been 100,000 miles. I haven't broken yet. Seem to be doing good. No reason to worry about it now. But I will tell you as sure as I'm standing here, if you never change your oil in your car, one day it will die. I don't know when, I don't know how, but at some point it is going to be broken and busted and you're not going to be able to use it anymore. As sure as I'm standing here. It's the same way when it comes to heaven and hell. Either you're a person that believes that you're going to die and go up or down, or you don't. But as sure as I'm standing here, I will tell you that one out of one people die. Every single one of you are going to die one day. And the Bible says that you're either going to be connected to Jesus or disconnected with Jesus. And people say, well, I don't want to serve God just to be afraid of hell. And then I'm not trying to preach that this morning. I'm not trying to say that you should be afraid of hell. Because the truth is, I'm not afraid of hell at all. Hell does not scare me in the slightest. Why? Because I know I'm not going there. Aren't you afraid of hell? No, I'm not afraid at all. Because I love being connected to the vine. I love being a branch that bears fruit. And so when you hear this verse, I don't want it to be this like, oh my gosh, I better be connected to Jesus or else I'm going to do laps in the lake of fire. Don't focus so much about the fear of the flames. Focus on the excitement of being a branch that bears fruit. Because when you focus on a branch that bears fruit, you experience the goodness of God and you don't have to fear hell. Amen? You get fruit and blessings and doing and getting. Now, the truth is, if you're not connected to the branch, you get thrown in the fire. But it's not about being afraid of the fire. It's about being connected to the branch. Because if you stay connected, you're going to bear fruit and you don't have to worry about being thrown into the fire. But make it no mistake, man, Jesus isn't afraid to tell his disciples something that just might be a little bit of a cautionary tale. Okay? And sometimes contrast is good. Sometimes you need to magnify the consequences in your life instead of minimize them. That's for somebody this morning. A lot of times that's what happens when you get pulled into sin, is that you minimize the consequences in your head. You're like, it won't be that big of a deal. No one will find out. Maximize them, man. Think, this is going to cost me everything. I better not do this. Amen? Now people say, I don't want to serve a God that sends people to hell. Let me explain something to you real quick, okay? God does not send people to hell. Somebody say, well, how does that make sense? Well, Jesus many times gives his disciples and us a choice. We say, I either want to spend eternity with God or I don't want to spend eternity with God. And God doesn't say, well, there's these scales of whether you've done good or bad, and then that decides whether you go to heaven or hell. That's not how it works. What it is that Jesus opens up the door and says, if you want to come and live with me and be connected with me, you'll spend eternity with me. And if you don't, there's a place for you that's where I'm not. It just so happens to be the name hell. And so the place where I'm not is a place that is, there's going to be torment and damnation and there's going to be horrible things. So if you don't want to spend eternity with me, sure, there's a space for you for those that don't want to spend time with me. God doesn't say you're going to hell. He says you don't want to be with me. Well, if you don't want to be with me, there's only one other place you can go. That's it. Don't be afraid of hell. Just abide in Jesus. Because here's the good part. Amen. If you abide, you get. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Everybody start amen in that one. Amen. I'm like, don't go to hell. Everybody's like, you're going to get free stuff. Everybody like, hallelujah. Glory. I need some free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. I do. At Costco. Amen. Who said that? Hallelujah. My people. Took my family out to dinner last week at Costco. All right. Now this verse has been twisted quite a bit. There's a contingency of Christianity that uses this verse to turn Jesus into a spiritual bellhop. It's the go and get me my riches, Jesus. Let me explain something to you, man. If we are, if the verse says, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, then our lives should be 100% connected to Jesus all day, every day, and understand that He is our sustenance, is the one that we should be going to for everything that we want. And Scripture is clear that we should be asking God for everything that we want in our lives. We shouldn't be going out there getting stuff on our own. We should be going before God asking for it. Bring up that scripture of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. He said this in Matthew. He said, "Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to he who asks him?" God wants you to go to him and ask him for stuff. Somebody say, "Man, are you a prosperity guy?" Well, listen, I'm not a prosperity guy. I'm a go and ask Jesus for what you want guy. And God in his infinite wisdom, as the decider in your life, will decide that which you need and which you don't need. And he will be the filter by which he will say, "You know what? I don't think you need that." And then you just go, "Okay, Dad, it's fine." Like a good kid should. Amen. Dad says no, you just amen. Just amen, Dad. But that's the connection we should have. She wasn't listening. Were you listening? That's why Gabe doesn't sit in the front row. He doesn't want to be a sermon example. Now listen, don't miss the point here, folks. Asking for what you desire from Jesus in this verse is predicated on, one, abiding in Jesus. And it also is predicated on abiding in Jesus' words. See, people get excited about the, "Oh, I can ask God for whatever I want." Yes, but Jesus makes it very clear. He says, first, before you ask me for whatever you want, you've got to abide in me. And that word abiding is to remain. It's to be connected, to rest in. And so you've got to have a relationship with Jesus that is more than just a, "Hey, I came out of my bedroom once a week because I want you to buy me something new and I don't have a relationship with you." And all the parents said, "Amen." That's how kids are though, right? Yeah. They don't want to have a relationship with their parents. They want all the benefits of being in a relationship with their parents. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Are you young people listening to this? It's good. Are they listening? Are you listening? Amen. I love having kids in the service. Every parent appreciates a relationship with their kids. What they don't appreciate is kids that want stuff from them and aren't in relationship with them. And all the parents said, amen. Amen. Is that not the same heart of God that God has for us? When you're in relationship with your kids, and kids, just let me know, the way you can work your parents is just spend a bunch of time with them. Like, "I love you so much. Let's just spend Saturday night together." And the next thing you know, you out to Red Robin. They buying you new pairs of socks. They doing everything because they just want to be in relationship with you. Is that not the heart of Father God for us? See, we don't want to be in relationship with God and we want Him to bless us with good things. No, if you abide in me and you live in my words, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Abiding is the beginning of getting from God. You must abide in Jesus and His Word. And that means what the Bible says to get from God. Now here's the catch. I believe if you truly abide in Jesus and His Word, you will ask for what you desire, but it won't be selfish, self-serving, look at me, make me rich, and famous kinds of prayers. See, if you have an abiding relationship with Jesus and you're abiding in His Word, He will change the desires of your heart and you no longer desire what the world desires. You begin to ask prayers that line up with His Word and He will give you those things every single time. People say, "God doesn't answer my prayers for riches." Okay, let's start with some easier ones like, "God, change me. God, help me to not be a despicable, selfish, self-serving person." He will give you what you desire. Amen. God, help me to forgive those people that have hurt me. He will give you what you desire. God, help me to be a servant that will pour out my life. He will give you what you desire. God, help me to give away anything that is of value to me to bless somebody else. He will give you what you desire. Amen. It's why you see some of the most accomplished people that are so just like, about what they have, because they got a good heart condition, that their stuff doesn't own them. They own their stuff. Abide in Jesus and you'll get whatever you desire. But God desires different things than what the world desires. God desires that we would bear fruit. Fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the last part of this verse, God is glorified when we grow. Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now this is really good. This is good preaching for those of you that are here that are mean, nasty people. Amen? If you're a mean and nasty person, you should get excited about this verse. Hallelujah. Because what's going to happen is that you're a piece of bramble with thorns, and you pray and you say, God, my desire is that you would bear fruit in my life, and that fruit is going to come out of your life, and God's going to get the glory for it. Amen? Amen. If you're in a dirty, nasty place, you're in the greatest position to show God's glory. Amen? Because God loves to be a God of contrast. He loves to take the broken and make them whole. The fruitless and make them fruitful. Amen. Now hopefully you've grown some fruit over the years. Amen. Now if you're just starting out, you're going to get there. Amen. You're going to get there. God's going to grow fruit in you and it's going to give Him glory. Amen. It's going to do big things in your life and it's going to give God the glory and not you. Amen. See, I'm going to use someone as a sermon example this morning, okay? And I asked him if I could. You guys know Aaron Digby back here? Look at him so he feels real uncomfortable. His face is in the church. Now, if you look up despicable, vile sinner in the dictionary about 7 years ago, it would be that guy. And he'll tell you his testimony. If anything, you've never not been truthful. Amen? God never had to grow truthfulness in Aaron. Aaron has always been truthful ever since I know him. The way I met Aaron, just so you know, and this is a little plug, is that when we were on vacation in Oregon 7 years ago, I went to visit a church on Sunday morning. And as I was a visitor in a church, somebody chased me down in the parking lot because I was a visitor and said, oh, you're visiting our church. Where are you from? And I said, I was near Seattle. He said, where you live? And I said, I live in Covington. And he says, man, I got a son-in-law. Or a stepson that is living in Kent. He said, would you reach out to that guy? And I was like, all right. He said, I'll give you his number. And I don't know if you've ever called somebody and left a message that you didn't know. And you're just like, hi, my name's Matt. I know you don't know me, but somebody gave me your number. And they said that, I don't know, just, I don't know what it sounded like. It probably sounded like trying to ask him out on a date or something. You know what I mean? I was like, so if you ever want to hang out, give me a call. We'll go do something together. And it must have took like 2 months for Aaron to call me back. And he calls me back and he's like, this is Aaron. And then I was like, cool, man. Want to hang out? He's like, I don't know if I'm ready for all that yet, man. And it took about a good year or two even to get you to come to church. And then he'd come to church, man, and he'd wear sunglasses in church for years. Wouldn't talk to nobody, and he'd just stand in the back, the sunglasses on. Everybody come by, he'd be like, arr, arr. Biting at him. Going to the men's retreat, arr, arr. But that dude got a hold of Jesus last year, man. Or I should say Jesus got a hold of him. And I publicly want to acknowledge the fact that you are bearing fruit, Aaron. You really are. And people say, man, why are you calling him out like that? Because it's a guy like Aaron that shows how faithful God is. The ability that God has to change a heart. The ability that God has to take somebody from death to life. And it's a shining example of God's faithfulness. It truly is. And I asked him if I could use him as a sermon example because I think you don't understand God's ability to bear fruit in the broken. Amen? You just don't understand. It's a testimony to God's greatness. Amen? So what does it mean to you? If you want to have an excellent life, you have to realize you can't do nothing without Jesus. You can't. If you're sitting here this morning like, man, I don't have an excellent life, you can't do anything without Jesus. And it took Aaron a few years to figure it out. I'm sure he would say, man, I wish I could have figured it out a few years earlier. You can't do anything without Jesus. Your relationships don't work. Your jobs don't work. Your friendships don't work. Your finances don't work. Your health doesn't work without Jesus. Now, I'm sure you know successful people in this world who have accomplished a lot, and it appears as though they've accomplished a lot. But if they didn't do it without Jesus, they haven't accomplished anything in my book. That's not impressive. Let me give you a little insight here. Did you know that pure determination will get you anything that you want in this life? And it's what the world teaches. There is nothing outside the realm of possibility that you can accomplish in this world. Now, some of us seasoned people that are a little bit farther along the dreams of NFL is probably done with. But other than these physical dreams that are built on, you know, youthful exuberance, as far as accomplishing and achieving and gathering stuff, you can get anything that you want if you work hard enough, man. You can get a big fancy house, you can get big fancy cars, and you can have a ton of money. You can just roll around in it like Scrooge McDuck. I mean, you can just do whatever you want, man. But as far as the scripture is concerned, if you're doing it without Jesus, you're doing nothing. It's nothing. It's completely worthless. And I don't know if you've ever been around successful, rich, I hate to use that word successful because it really doesn't. You've been around somebody who has a lot of stuff, who makes a lot of money. And if they don't have Jesus, they're a shell. They're a shell, man. I had lunch with somebody this week from the company I used to work at. The dude's probably making $250,000 a year, man. Big this, big that, fancy this, shiny that. I made him buy my lunch. And asking you or see you. Hallelujah. But I tell you, the emptiness in that guy's eyes, man. He's sad, man. See, people get this idea and they think, man, if I only had stuff, I would be happy. And stuff does not satisfy. It does for a moment. Oh, this big shiny thing. And then you're just sitting around with your shiny thing, just empty. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying anything that has spiritual teeth in this world, if not connected to me, is nothing. I love Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. Some of the King James says dung. If you guys don't know what dung is, it's poop. Amen. I'm not afraid to say poop in church because it's in the Bible. Amen. I count it all as poop. And that's really, without Jesus, that's all the rest of the world is. All these young people, that's all you're going to remember from my sermon. They're like, what's the sermon around? Kids be like, poop. Well, remember that without Jesus, that's what everything is. Amen? The answer for you is to center your life around Jesus, every last part of it. And there comes a point when you begin to see everything through a Jesus lens, and you can't help but be affected by it. Amen? And when you try to do it on your own, you can't bear fruit. You just can't. Now listen, to have an excellent life, you have to realize you don't want to get cast in the fire. Amen? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast into the fire he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them in the fire and they're burned. Now you would think this would be an easy sell. Stay connected to Jesus. Don't do laps in the lake of fire. Amen? Most people don't want to go in the fire. And the answer to not going in the fire is really easy. Just stay connected to Jesus. But I don't want you to stay connected to Jesus because you're afraid of the fire. I want you to stay connected to Jesus because there is fruit and blessings that come from being connected to the vine. See, I love John chapter 10, verse 29. He says, no one can snatch him out of my hand. What does that mean? If Jesus is holding you in your hand, Jesus is holding you in his hand, you don't have to worry about the fire, man. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be worried. He's holding you. I rest in that every single night, man. Before I go to bed, I say, you know what, Jesus, thank you for holding me in the palm of your hand. Now, here's another part of an excellent life, is that you can realize that you can get what you want. You guys aren't going to amen that one. That's fine. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, let's focus on that first part. You must abide in Jesus first. Amen. Don't get caught up on the I can get from Jesus. Get caught up on the I want to abide in Jesus. Did you know that if you just abide in Jesus, you'll accidentally get blessed? Amen. You just have to stay connected. You turn around like, wow, I didn't even realize this. I ended up getting blessed. Here's the part though, is that serving God is not about getting. It's about abiding. And people come to me as a pastor and they say, Pastor, I need prayer for a job. I need prayer for money. I need prayer to fix this relationship. I need prayer to fix this thing in my body. And truthfully, a lot of times, I don't even want to pray for somebody who's not abiding in Jesus. They say, man, that's kind of mean, isn't it? Why wouldn't you pray for somebody to get a job who don't know Jesus? Because you can have a really good job and go to hell. You know, a really good job and not get what this world has for you, which is, not what this world has for you, but what God has for you, which is an abiding relationship with Jesus. I believe that the only revelation an unsaved person can hear is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think it's the only way that anybody can live on this earth is completely abiding in Jesus. And if you can have all this great job and a great marriage and great kids and all this other stuff, but without Jesus, to me, it's rubbish. It's dung. It's worthless. The answer is an abiding relationship with Jesus to get what you want. And again, I think what happens is God changes the desires of your heart. You no longer desire the things the world desires. Yeah, right. You realize that those things I don't need that the world says that I need. You know, I used to have a dream of living on a lake, and then I realized that one day I'm going to be living on the sea of glass. Amen? Yeah. For eternity. So if I have a choice, I'd rather live on the sea of glass in heaven instead of living on a lake temporarily. Amen? Here's the last part, and then we'll get out of here. Just grow. Just grow. And it's not about, like, you can't sit around and make fruit grow out of you. It just doesn't work, man. The only way you can do it is to be connected to God through Jesus Christ and allow Him to grow fruit in you, and it will give God glory. Amen? And it's not by doing. It's by being, abiding in the loving presence of Jesus. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Folks, if we bear the fruit of our Father, He gets the glory. It shows the world that we love Him and that He loves us. And again, for those of you that say, I don't have a lot of fruit in my life, you're in the greatest position to give God glory. Amen? You're the type of life that people will look at and say, there must be a God. Because it changed that nasty, dirty person. Amen? It's the greatest way to give God glory is to allow Him to change your life in a way that other people look at it and say, there must be a God because your life has been changed by Him. Amen? Here's a prayer that you can pray that God will answer every single time. God, grow fruit in me. Help me to be more like Jesus. Help me to be more like you. Because when you grow, it gives God glory. It pleases the heart of the Father when we allow Him to bear fruit in us. Matthew Henry said this, a life of faith in the Son of God is incomparably the most excellent life a man can have in this world. Amen. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads for a moment? Just give me a couple more minutes. Not me, man. You don't have to give me any more time. I'll give God a couple more minutes. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you'd say, you know what? I want an excellent life and I don't have it. Because I know that I don't know Jesus. Or at least Jesus doesn't know me. I'm not abiding in Him. I'm not resting in Him. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Him this morning. And I do this every single week because there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important than knowing Jesus. It's not about anything that we can do. It's about everything that He can do. And it's pretty simple. You just have to realize, man, without Jesus, I'm lost. I need Him to lead me. Now, the Bible says that if you don't come to Jesus and allow Him to forgive you of your sins, the bad stuff you've done in your life, that you won't live for eternity with Him. And so it's pretty easy. You just make a decision. You say, Jesus, I want to live for you. You turn away from the world and you turn towards God. Now, if you're here this morning, you've never made that decision. You just want to commit to that this morning. I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here this morning that needs to make that declaration? I see many a life changed by a raised hand. Is there anybody here? Amen. Now, maybe you haven't been abiding in Jesus. You've been doing it on your own strength. Just pray and say, you know what, God? I want an excellent life and I don't want it if it's not connected to you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. And I'm sorry that I've rested on my own strength. I'm sorry that I haven't given myself to you in every area of my life. Did you know that God can hear your prayers in your head? He can read your mind. Should scare some of you. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be a church, that we would be a people that would live wholly and completely in you. God, that in every area of our lives that we would submit ourselves to you. God, that we wouldn't rest on our own strength because we realize that apart from you, we can do nothing. Father, we submit ourselves to you this morning, wholly and completely. Every single area of our lives, God, we submit to you. God, and we pray that you would grow fruit in us. God, let the fruit of you be shown in our lives in such a way that it would bring you glory. Not our own glory, God, but your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.